Well, it's good to hear from you. It feels like it's been a, I'm sure it's been a longer journey for you than it is for me, but it's good to finally be talking in the context that something new is out there in the world for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Just to start off with, because we talked a year and a half ago, maybe, and it seemed like you were right on the cusp of having it out, like maybe falling maybe 4 or 5 weeks away, and then kind of got shelved. So I'm wondering where you've been, what's been going on, what delayed the process, and why now you felt like you were at a time to put it out.
Well, I made the album in pretty short order after moving to Nashville. I felt like I just needed to get some music out of me quickly. It just kind of came out in a burst. And once the album was made, I guess a lot of the content was still pretty fresh in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure how I felt about it. So I just made, I guess, some excuses to myself, you know, like
right.
The album cover is not done. This isn't in place. That's not in place. But I think I just wasn't ready to be that open.
Yeah.
But I hit the place where I decided it was just time to put this stuff out. Been teaching myself a lot as far as engineering,
mm-hmm.
mixing, and I guess I just came to a place where I realized that, you know, time is not on my side. I need to put this stuff out into the world.
Yeah.
So I can work on something else.
Right. Do you feel like this for you, I know a lot of artists, they'll have a passion project or something that's a little bit off of center from where they are, that they just need to get that out and then kind of go back to status quo or to, because this music is very different than what you've done in the past. Is this for you just something that you had to artistically create and go back to something different, or are you going to stay in this zone for a while, do you think?
I didn't put a lot of thought into the sound when I went into making the record. Mm-hmm. I had several songs that I knew I really liked, and I had been listening almost exclusively to Ray Charles for like a year. I had discovered Ray Charles. I mean, I knew who he was, but I had never really dug in.
Mm-hmm.
It had never occurred to me how brilliant he was. And I maintain now still that he may be my favorite artist of my life and one of the most talented people I've ever heard, just for so many reasons. But I didn't think I want to make a solo album. I got together with some players in Nashville when I moved to Nashville in 2010. And these guys were really still remain like some of the most talented players and tasteful players that I've ever played with, and really good friends. We had two rehearsals, and I presented these songs, maybe 13 to 15 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not rock. They were more acoustic or down tempo, but definitely not rock.
Yeah.
But not really soul, you know. They were just kind of songs, just sketches.
Mm-hmm.
So we start playing, and the drummer, Aaron Mortensen, just gets an idea at some point for a direction for the song Wildfire. And we cut the tempo in half. And just made it into this kind of slow Michael Jackson-esque vibe song. And it just clicked. It felt really great, and we all kind of looked at each other. Knew something special was happening. And then Aaron said to me that, you know, this is the album you need to make. Sade, you know. Male Sade album. We kind of went back from there and reimagined all the other songs through that lens.
At that point, did you dig into, like, that sort of Mississippi Soul of Otis Redding and Sam Cooke, because all of that really, certain songs feel like they've got a, more of an influence of this. Was that coming from you dictating that, or was that just the people in the room bringing it to life that way?
Ray Charles was the main inspiration,
mm-hmm.
I think, just subconsciously, just because that's what I've been listening to. There was some Al Green in there, too.
Yeah.
Around the time that we started, well, I guess, rehearsing, and I was finishing up the writing of lead songs, I knew that I really loved Al Green, so I went back and listened to a little bit of that. Mostly his, like, one of the more recent albums he made with the Roots as his background band. And, I mean, it's at this point, it's at least 3 years old, maybe a little bit more, but the Roots were his band, and they produced the album. And it's a terrific album. I think it's called Stay With Me. I'm not sure.
That sounds familiar.
So that's, yeah, that's, those are really the only two artists that I was listening to for, you know, inspiration. Let's take a little time.
And as far as the recording process, obviously you said, you know, you did it really quick, but just compared to other recording processes you've gone through in the past, did you feel more at home in it? Was there something more personal about it?
Yeah. In the past, I've worked with producers who were chosen by record companies. They were good experiences, but over the last 10 years, I've learned a lot about production, you know, on my own. And frankly, I would say that the engineer, the guy who engineered and mixed this album, I would consider him a co-producer, but I produced and edited and engineered a good part of the record as well.
Yeah.
We definitely co-produced the album, and the players were very seasoned, so they had some really thoughtful things to say in the writing and arranging as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the process, yeah, I feel like I was much more a part of the production, arranging, and overall sound of this album. It was a little scary because, you know, that the responsibility is on you, and you have to surround yourself with people who you trust, who you believe can help you find or give voice to your vision. I think, you know, in hindsight, there are a few very minor technical things we might have done differently, but overall, I'm kind of shocked at how good the album turned out. I'm a big fan of the album. I think song-wise, production, the way the songs play into each other, I think it just feels like a very solid piece of work. I had a Kickstarter campaign to fund this album, and some of the people who donated towards the making of the album have had it for a while. A small number of people, but there are some people who have had it for a while. And I can kind of synthesize from just online comments and people who are fans of work of some of my prior albums don't know what to make of it or, you know, aren't necessarily, it's not like their favorite thing. Because it is a pretty big stylistic jump, I'll give you that.
Yeah. As a fan, you get to a point of saying, I'm going to stick with this artist and I'm going to trust what they do. And that's hard because people change and styles change. And there are a few people, I think, a few artists that I will go in on and I'll say, I'm going to trust you to take me on this journey. And hopefully at the end, we can still be friends. And that's a hard thing, I would think, as an artist who tries to make some friends along the way to say, I'm okay with that, and I'm okay with us splitting paths here if you're not on board with it. Do you feel comfortable talking at all about the content of the music, the lyrics? Because there's so much heartbreak, heartache, very visceral, very real feeling that come through in the content.
Yeah, sure.
So where did that come from? I know you told me before that you had a really bad relationship you were coming out of. I think you described it as Jerry Springer-esque.
Content-wise, yeah. I was in a long-term relationship where both parties suffered, I guess, needlessly for different reasons. For too long, and it manifested in kind of an explosion, and it was pretty painful. I don't blame anyone, but I think that is where the urgency came from for the making of the album.
And pretty much all of it is in reference to that situation.
Well, there are a few different relationships at play. Leaving the long-term relationship, I moved to Nashville, and in less than a year, I met someone, started dating someone who was kind of the opposite of the long-term relationship. I met someone who I was able to really experience a lot of happiness with pretty immediately, and a sort of connection that I've never really felt before in a relationship. And a real visibility, I would say, where you feel seen and appreciated and understood. So I started writing simultaneously as I'm finishing up some of these songs. I started writing new songs or reimagining older ideas, demos, and in the context of this new relationship and what it ended up looking like, which was completely, completely unintentional, is almost in every other song leapfrog, where one song might be fun and kind of carefree and in reference to the new relationship.
Yeah.
The next song might be a little darker, a little more intense. That was not really planned out. That's just the way it ended up.
Yeah. Well, I think in that sense, it comes across as very honest. Of, you know, life is not one thing or the other, but it just resonates because of that honesty of exploring both sides of things. So what's next for you? Is this something that you want to, or what's your hope for the album? Or are you going to tour with this music, or are you back into something else now? What's the future look like?
I don't know if I'm going to be playing many shows for this album. It really was just something that I needed and wanted to get out, not just for content purposes, but musically as well. It was an undertaking that I was really excited about, but it was a big undertaking, like strings, horns,
yeah,
arranging these parts, and working with a lot of different players. It was kind of a thing that it was a passion project. It was there was a lot of learning and growing in there musically, as well as, you know, personally.
It seems like it'd be hard to take this out on the road on a reasonable budget.
Exactly. I don't know how I would be able to tour with 14 people anytime soon. Now, having said that, I did play a few shows in Nashville with almost everyone who played on the album. And where one player wouldn't have been available, someone else was there to play the same part.
Yeah.
I taught myself how to write all of the charts for the strings and horns.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, I played a few shows with 14 people on a tiny stage where there was literally not even enough room to move, to barely even perform. And we played the whole album from top to bottom. And that was very fulfilling. It was really fun. We didn't have that many rehearsals. And normally what you would do is rehearse with the horn section, then rehearse with the string section, or rehearse with the core rhythm section. But we just, you know, I didn't have the budget to practice for a month and break it down like that. But it was still really fun and fulfilling. I did get to experience that, but I don't think it's something that I'm going to be touring on. What's next in the future? A handful of projects that I've been working on for the last few years, all of which are wrapping up around the same time. A few are collaborations. One is more of a band type project akin to Matthew and My Traditional Sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
There are a handful of projects here. I took on way too many things at once about 2.5 years ago.
Hmm.
Maybe as a distraction, so I wouldn't have to release the Love Me Down album.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, I did it. I took on more projects than I could handle at one time. So I do have 2 or 3 other albums that will be, you know, that are nearing completion.
Mm-hmm. I think at this stage in the industry, you've got to find different ways to make things work and different ways to carve out a career. It's not as clear cut as it once was. But you're a guy who spent years on the road. Is that a passion for you? Is it a passion for you to be on stage, or do you feel like for you more of the creative process and working in that environment is more your scene?
It's really both. I've realized that, I mean, I love writing. I love arranging and producing. I love the creativity that goes along with a long-term project and the re-evaluating daily and weekly and monthly. The chiseling away at this thing, you know. I'm really OCD, so for me to be able to take several months and chisel away at something until it's exactly like you imagined it is, or to work with something until you are as happy as you imagined you would be, because nothing ever turns out exactly like you imagine it. But I love that process. Performing, I really enjoy performing as well. Obviously, that is limited to budgets and, yeah, what you're able to do. You know, the sky, in your imagination, the sky's the limit, but in reality,
right?
You know, it takes time and resources to pull off shows and tours.
Yeah.
I'm reevaluating what that's going to mean for me. I do love touring. I do love performing. I've been teaching myself how to mix over the last several months. And, you know, to learn anything, whether it's a language or a skill, you have to model someone else. And I guess I'm modeling a few different people. Pan's Labyrinth, do you remember that film?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I remember hearing that the guy who made that film, I'm totally going to screw this up, but if I'm not mistaken, he produced, directed, was the cinematographer. It was like a one-man show.
Yeah.
And definitely Sufjan Stevens was that guy. You know, he wrote his music, he arranged it. He worked with different musicians, but he recorded and mixed his albums as well. And I think that's awesome. The more control you have, the more accurate you can be with your final product. Assuming that you spend a lot of time practicing and getting good at whatever it is you're trying, you know. So, I'm trying to really just pay more attention to the skill and the craft of engineering and mixing, the technical side of recording, so I can figure out a way to travel. It's what every musician wants to do now, to be able to travel light on your feet.
Yeah.
And pull off something interesting, but still accurate as far as like the recording, you know?
Yeah. And there's something to be said for pulling back and taking the time to learn that so that what you put out there in the future is that much better versus constantly go, 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 go until you burn out and you don't want anything to do with any of it.
Are you familiar with Bob Lefsetz? He's a music business blogger, really bright guy. Yeah, he's always kind of, there are a handful of issues that he's always beating a drum for. And one thing that he constantly says is that skill is very important because the future of music is live performance. I mean, there will always be obviously recorded music, but if you want to make a living, you're going to have to be on the road a lot. That's
right.
Where you're going to make your money for most performers. And you can auto-tune as much as you want, but it's not going to translate live.
Right.
And, you know, there's a reason that Tedeschi Trucks sells out amphitheaters year after year, and they maybe have never had a radio song, you know, because they're unreal performers, and that's why people keep coming back.
Right.
So I'm definitely at a place where I think I need to work on just my skill, revisit that.
Yeah.
Time.